8:35 p.m. on the 28th day of February, 2012. Members present are Representative Soberts. I'm Jewel here, Representative Guttenberg, Representative T. Wilson, Representative Guerra, Vice Chair Fairclough, Stoltz, Kutcher Thomas, Representative Dugan, Representative Edgman, Representative Costello, and Representative Newman. And we have a full quorum. It takes a couple seconds longer. We have two bills on our calendar for this portion of today's committee hearing. House Bill 304, the Fire Standards Council, and House Bill 254, the Alaska Native Language Council. Just let know folks ahead of time on House Bill 254 is the intent there were some possible changes to 254. We want to get the public testimony and put some of those possible changes on the record and come back with something that we haven't done on the fly in committee. I want to work and bring it back when it's been done by legislative legal. That, I'd like to invite Representative Johnson or your designee, which you're
I need the support.
Yeah, is he just a bill too?
Welcome, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Craig Johnson, Representative District 28. I have introduced this at the request of the basically the fire departments around the state. And I, like all smart legislators, are going to turn it over to my staff because they've been working on this, or she's been working on this for a long time. And although I'm prepared to answer any questions, I will just ask her to give me the answer anyway. So instead, I'm just going to turn it over to Aaron, my most capable staff.
Thank you, Mr. Welcome, Representative Dugan.
Thank you. So, Representative Johnson, you're going to take the credit but not do the work like the rest of us. Is that right?
I think I was very clear on
that. Thank you.
And I'm not here for credit.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Erin Schein, Alliance Staff Representative Craig Johnson.
Good step.
The bill before you today is House Bill 304, which makes three simple changes to the Alaska Fire Standards Council. The first change is designating an existing seat to a member of the Alaska Professional Firefighters Association. The second change is adding a seat for a member of the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. And the third change reclassifies the existing seat from a firefighter administrative officer to a member of the Alaska State Firefighters Association. The mission of the Alaska Fire Standards Council is to establish professional standards for fire service personnel and curriculum requirements for the certification of training programs. Under House Bill 304, the governor appoints one member from each of these three associations to the Alaska Fire Standards Council from a list of at least three nominees submitted by each association. The intent of House Bill 304 is to ensure that all three associations are represented on the Alaska Fire Standards Council and to guarantee that the designees from these three important statewide firefighting groups can speak with the full confidence of their respective associations in council meetings. Thank you for considering this piece of legislation. I would like to note that online we have Tom Westcott from the Alaska Professional Firefighters Association, Jeff Tucker from the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association, and Gordon Discutner from the Alaska Fire Standards Council. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm available to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions for Ms. Schein? Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to get on the record the question I asked you earlier, which is, what happens, since it's a 12-member council, what happens when all 12 show up and want to vote?
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, if adding the seat by the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association will be a 12-member board, currently it's an 11-member board. At the event that all 12 voting members are there, the chair will abstain from voting.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I don't see any other questions. We'll go into the public testimony. Mr. Westcott. Oh, did you have, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
She's just nervous.
Be nice, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Wait till there's two cameras in to not behave bad.
Mr. Westcott.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tom Westcott. I'm president of the Alaska Professional Firefighters, and we represent firefighters from Coxsackie to Ketchikan. I'm calling in today in support for House Bill 304. I won't take a lot of your time because I think you got a pretty good explanation of what the bill does. And I want to say for a little history, prior to this legislation, we did go to the Standards Council and gain their support for this legislation, both the fire chiefs and the Alaska Professional Firefighters. And our main goal is just to be another tool for the Standard Council and assist them in doing their job. I will be here for any questions if anybody has any, and I will leave it at that. I'd like to thank the staff of Representative Johnson's office and the committee for taking the time to take this up today.
Any questions for Mr. Westcott? Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Westcott, from your perspective, why was this needed and what was the problem? What are we fixing?
Basically, the bill is now, from our standpoint, it is designating a seat for the Alaska Professional Firefighters on the Standards Council. We currently have actually two members on it, and they won't change, but this just ensures that there will always be a representative from the Alaska Professional Firefighters on the board. And by doing that, the Alaska Professional Firefighters have a lot of resources at their fingertips that they can bring to the board, and hopefully our intention is to be a valuable addition, and this bill just ensures that there will be a member of the Alaska Professional Firefighters on this board, this council.
I think it takes off one bureaucrat and puts on a chief who may or may not be a volunteer. That's not a bad thing either. Is that a correct observation, Representative Johnson?
That is correct. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Westcott. Next we have Gordon Discuther.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Gordon Discutner. I'm the Executive Director for the Fire Standards Council. Where the council has met and discussed additions for the chiefs and the professional firefighters and agree that both associations would augment the council's ability to perform its mission. And so that we're in support of both.
Very good. Any questions? Thank you, sir, for testifying. You're welcome to stay on and listen, although this meeting on this portion probably won't last much longer. Mr. Tucker.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jeff Tucker. I'm the immediate past president of the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. I want to thank Representative Johnson for introducing this bill. The Alaska Fire Chiefs Association supports House Bill 304. I think the addition of the Firefighters Associate, Professional Firefighters, and the Alaska Fire Chiefs, in addition to the current member of the Alaska State Firefighters Association, puts the three state firefighter organizations on the Standards Council. I think it's a good addition, and we support the bill. And I'll stand by for any questions. Everything else has been pretty much said.
Any questions? Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else that wishes to testify in this bill? Anybody online or in the public in here in the House committee room? We'll go ahead and close public testimony. But we do have a fiscal note here.
I think it's been going on all year.
$2,200. Probably travel would be my guess if you're adding another person. That's two meetings for travel per diem for the volunteer position. That's pretty reasonable. Are there any amendments? Anybody want to get their fire department on here? Just kidding.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'll just say this, I have an attachment to this this organization. It wasn't funded previously, and I worked with former Representative Ramirez to get this get the funding for this, and it was another governor that and fighting actually the fire marshal's office, as you often fight the bureaucracies. They had different priorities, and I think this is an important one, and having standards, whether they're volunteer or they're paid as a professional firefighters, it's good to have standards for training, and frankly, the fire departments where I live are actually some pretty good training centers for the paid fire departments, and some of our best go to work there, and that's a pretty good cycle. That will take a motion to remove the bill from committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move from committee House Bill 304, 27-LS0957-I, with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Hearing no objection, the bill is moved out of committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have any chance getting this thing on the floor?
I see what the real show has to say.
Thank you.
You quite right, Chad.
Maybe tomorrow. Good afternoon.
We will take about a 10-second Eddie. It's just actually, it will take a very brief Eddie. I won't say. Prepare to bring his bill up. For a very brief at ease. Next bill we have before us is House Bill 254. We are going to have a presentation of the bill and a hear the public testimony, and we will, folks know we're not going to move this bill because I think there are some technical changes we want to make to it. We want to go through the legal services process to do those, not write the amendments here. So welcome, Representative Dick and Ms. Kreitzer. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. I'm really, really happy to be here. This, as many of you know, I've lived in the bush for 45 years. I've lived amongst the Yupik and Athabascan people. And many of you also know that my wife, Helen, who's seated here with us, is the youngest fluent speaker of her language, and we're both 66 years old. For the last 3 years before coming to Juneau, I was my wife and I administered an endangered language grant for the Alaskan Native Heritage Center for 3 years. And we created hours and hours of language lessons, video lessons, put together a 20,000-entry lexicon for the Dana'ina dialect of Athabascan. So we're familiar with the need, and we're also familiar with some of the strategies for bringing these things to pass. For decades, the Native people of Alaska have told us what they need in order to make the healthy community, their communities healthy. And for decades, the Native people have told us the language is fundamental, it's foundational for improving themselves and their communities. And the Native people have a fascinating way of looking at things. It's all built in and woven into the language. I might mention the village of Algonac. We all use the term, but none of us know what it means. Well, not a few of us know what it means. And if you knew what it meant, you would instantly ask a question, and that question would prompt the story. And to be very concise, the word Algonac means big mistake. But that doesn't mean the village was a mistake. And you say, well, why was it named that? It's because the war party came, was coming down the river. They came around the bend, and they said, Algonac, it was a big mistake. And they got their butts whipped in that village. So that really, Algonac really means don't mess with us. The last guys that did made a big mistake. So at the same time, if you had the name Anuksaijiak, you would have to go through life with a real sense of humor. The village of Sleep Mill, which we're all familiar with from Northern Exposure, many of us don't know what that means. And mute or mute means village of or people of. Slin is actually sharpening stone. So when you talk about Slin Mute, you're really talking about where people came from hundreds of miles to get the sharpening stones to sharpen their tools. And the native language is full of onomatopoeic expressions, like... see, in the springtime, the willow grouse will get on a log, and they'll beat the log with their wings, and they'll go dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. And you could well imagine what the name of that willow grouse is. It's dum-dum-dock. And so built within the language is just beautiful expressions and connections that really can't quite be translated into English. And these I've heard from the Native people, and I really do believe that their worldview is built into their language. And without the language, the worldview is really compromised. So, I've heard people say, well, why don't the people, if they want their language, why don't they teach it at home? And my response is, well, why do we teach 12 years of English in school? The answer is so we can get better at it. You know, we can improve it. We can all come up with a more uniform language and not disperse into dialects. And we know from the past that Native people were beaten for speaking their language in school. We know that. That was part of the past. And we think that's not part of our present. But I'd like to point you out, if you take a look at the Alaska State Seal, take a look at that seal, and we think we're not participating, but there is no evidence that in this state seal that there was ever a person in the state of Alaska when the non-natives arrived. There's no evidence of Native people right within our state seal. So we think it doesn't exist today, but it's always subtly being communicated. So I've heard people say, well, why doesn't AFN do something about it? And the answer is they do. Every year they pass a resolution. We need help restoring our languages. But what's really needed is validation by the state and validation by the school system. I know that the recent scholarship bill calls for the native languages to be one of the options by which the students can qualify for the scholarship. And yet we have no organizational plan by which we can bring that to pass. And we realize that within the state there are actually five different main cultural areas. There's the Yupiks, the Inupiats, the Athabascan, the Aleutics, Anungan, and then the Tlingit-Haida Tsimshian. Now, I often joke my son, who's Athabascan, always refers to the Yupiks as the illegal immigrants. They only came 8,000 years ago. So, but there are five groups of people, that's affectionately. There's five groups of Native people within the state, and there's five different language patterns, and each one has their own complexities and their own attributes. So this bill does not... this bill doesn't ask for millions to restore the language. All this bill asks for is a council to discuss the modern-day issues that have to do with language restoration. I'd like to suggest that 10 years from now, this conversation will not be possible because the language people, like such as my wife, will not be here to be able to do what we're asking this council to do. I would like to make mention that an excellent job has been done by the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Dr. James Carey, Gary Holton, Andrea Perez, Joan Tenenbaum, Michael Krauss, Jeff Lear. They're brilliant linguists who have documented the languages of Alaska. They've done a brilliant job. But if any of you have tried to have a conversation with them, and I have, they breathe different air. They eat different food. They get it. They don't relate to languages the way the rest of us do. So what we're talking about here is a council to speak to restoration and revitalization of languages, not the preservation. So I do favor a three-year sunset. I believe that the council could accomplish a set task within a three-year period. And I do question the two positions stated in the fiscal note, and we can have that conversation. But I would like to, I guess, to take a look at these languages worldwide. Like the Hebrew language, which became totally extinct, and yet we have thousands and millions of people speaking that language. They saw that the language was integral to who and what they are. And at the same time, we have the Irish language became extinct, and the people saw the urgent need for it, and they restored that language back. They brought it back. We don't have to bring it back from extinction. All we have to do is just to breathe on that glowing ember. So. I can see the council taking a look at new technology. My wife Helen and I were keynote speakers in a conference in Eugene, Oregon, 2 years ago, dealing with endangered languages, and we met with people from New Zealand and all over the globe with this technology, this software. There's a sense of excitement going on within the language community about revitalizing, even in Hawaii and the Maori language in New Zealand again. So this bill is about language and communication. This bill is also communication. I believe it says we're listening. I believe it says to the native people, we take you seriously. I believe it's long overdue and displays our willingness to acknowledge and validate while it's still time to do so. I'm hoping the council will produce wisdom and also a concrete product that will guide us in decision-making later. And I hope this body will see the importance of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. When I read the bill, I was enthusiastic about it, but I think leaving it with the department, I don't think we gain anything, Representative. Thank you. You know, and I looked at who's involved, and I see First Alaskans. I believe it would really work if it's with a native organization that's providing us the language already. If you put it in the Department of Education, I think we'll just probably end up like some of these school districts we have, you know, bound for failure. Why? Because the people you put there won't be speaking the native language, but I see three or four who speak the native language fluently here. That would be great people if they're the ones guiding it. And so it's just a thought and reason. One of the reasons I asked Bill to hold it, Representative Stoltz, is why don't we turn this over to First Alaskans, give them a tax credit from that can help fund the thing. We might fund it for 1 year. Give them the tax credit the oil industry pays the state. What I'm afraid of is putting another state employee or two in the state here and we get nowhere. But give a tax credit to First Alaskans, oil industry can help support them. They build a trust fund up for X number of dollars. And also, is my understanding, because I was semi-involved in watching First Alaskans organize and form, it was also for education. So it wouldn't hurt. It's just a thought. You know, we can bang it around, roll it around. But I think a tax credit in a native organization that's there for education already would work a lot better than if we put it down here with the community, you know, education community.
Thanks, Representative Stoltz. I welcome any friendly amendments. So.
Well, it's just a thought. You know, you think about it, looking out here, I know a third of the people out here, and I think that they could help if they're in the right spot, but they won't get the position down here at the Department of Ed. You know, so.
Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to first thank Representative Dick for bringing this bill forward, and for all of his efforts towards preserving the Alaska Native language. I agree a lot with his comments, and it's funny, whenever he comes into the finance room, the cans even seem to beat faster than what it is. Well, extra energy. my question, if I could, Mr. Chairman, would be to direct a question to the co-chair who just spoke, and maybe in an attempt to further explore his idea, my question would be whether his idea was tied around the bill itself going forward, largely as it is, but with the different funding sources that
you had in mind. Since it's still on the House side and in somewhat young, we could make changes working with the sponsor, but I think the goal is to preserve the language, and we must all do it right. And I think that putting it in the wrong hands, we gain nothing. I mean, you spent 45 years. Can you speak the language?
It's my job. A little bit.
A little bit, see, and he's been at 45 years at it, but I see people in here I know speak it very well. But again, I'm just concerned Department Ed is not going to hire the people that know how to do the language. And I believe that, again, First Alaskans is set up for to be an education arm and help the people, Alaska Native people. I think we can work on it, Representative Edgman, and get a bill that we'd be proud of. We fund it for 1 year, and then hopefully, similar to what we did with the shootout, and we've done with Alaska Native Heritage Center, I believe, is eligible for tax credits for 5 years, and get the regionals, and the oil industry, and anybody who pays a tax in Alaska to shuffle it over. That was just a quick thought since 11 o'clock this morning. So,
as a follow-up, Mr. Chairman, yes. I just wanted to get a little better understanding because I'm being introduced to the bill and seeing it really for the first time. And I think your idea, Representative Tuff, definitely has merit. But at the same time, some of the content of the bill, I think, as well has merit. And so maybe it's a marrying of the two ideas to get the bill to move forward. But I'd like to have more discussion on that when the bill does come back.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say we're predominant with the fiscal concerns and how we fund it and how we want to make it work as well. So I think you guys are on the same. And there may be some technical things. I don't know. You have a reference to the Bush Caucus in there, and I don't know if that's. I might rather have that listed as rural. There's members of the Bush Caucus from Chicoloon and from Sitka and from Juneau and Valdez in the past. So, I mean, little things like that we can look at as well. Representative Jewell, Garrett and Jewell.
Yes.
Garrett.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just. Oh, no, those were obvious. I was just trying to think that we don't think of as rural Alaska.
Representative Dick, I like the concept as well. And just on the fiscal note issue, I don't know how long the council has to meet. What I'm worried about, the way the bill is structured, is that you will have so many good people do a lot of work that ends up getting disregarded. Because right now, the way the bill is written, the people who work on this issue recommendations, and then nothing has to happen. And that's almost like a task force. And I've seen too many task force groups do good work that then doesn't get followed up on because the governor is too busy, the governor has different priorities, for good reasons or bad reasons. So what I would really like to see in this is, I don't think that it would take experts too long to come up with a language preservation policy. But what I would like to see is, after they finish their time meeting, that there be a shall, that the Department of Education shall then implement a plan or a program. But right now the bill lacks the shall. So they can legally just, pardon the term, they can legally blow you off. And I don't want you to get blown off. This is an important issue. And so I'd recommend we work on a shall that makes sure something happens after they meet. And in that case, they don't have to keep meeting forever as well.
Through the chair, Representative Garrett, I appreciate your insight.
Representative Jewell, and then we're going to go into public testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the issue of a person being appointed as a member, a member from the Bush Caucus being appointed. Yeah, I really want to revisit that because, you know, for the last 16 years in the legislature that I've been in the legislature, I've tried to be a bridge of understanding between rural Alaska and urban Alaska. And it would seem to me that if there's a person from the legislature who has an interest in this kind of an issue, and probably we build more bridges if it's somebody who isn't already going to be supported, but somebody that's questionable, that is immersed with the issue. And so I don't know if we want to confine ourselves to already our cheerleading squad. I think we need to build a broader base of support for people to be supportive of these kinds of efforts. So I would really encourage us as this gets worked to be people who have an interest or want to get engaged in this conversation, or maybe even somebody who's opposed to it, so that they could actually bring more thought process to the table.
Yes, yeah, somebody a sport and personal use fisherman, now on my eighth year of ASME, I can appreciate that bridge, because that wasn't a group I knew a lot about. Or our next to last question, Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick statement. I would like to associate myself with the comments from Representative Jewell. When we passed the task force on the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, I specifically reached out into the legislature to people who I thought may not be supportive from different sides of the aisle to make sure that the state had buy-in, because if I could convince people that might not be likely to support the issue, that it would create momentum. And just so that you know, I just had an update. That task force was convened my second year in the legislature, and there are only a few recommendations that have not been adopted formally going forward. And so certainly we have seen task force in the past that aren't implemented to the way that this body would like them to be implemented. But if you have passionate people involved in an issue and a chairman of that particular task force or the counselor or whatever it might be that we move forward, it does make a difference. And I do think that we need to get a cross-section of people involved. My only comment specific to this bill is if you want the state to do something, Representative Dick, if you want the state bought into recommendations that might come from a group of people who want to preserve the language, then you need champions inside of both bodies to be able to do that for you. If you want it incorporated into a budget funding element, or if you want it in a structural change that we might make in Alaska state statute, then you do need not just non-voting members. You need people that are going to buy into the process. So I would just, I was successful by that. That doesn't mean that the path should be the same. I'm just saying that when you find people from across aisles and across ideologies, you're much more successful in systemic change. So I just appreciate what this body's done in the past and look forward to our way forward on this. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go into public testimony. Revisiting this, Annette Evans Smith, and you'll be followed by Denise Morris.
Representative Stoltz and members of the committee, my name is Annette Evans Smith, and I serve as the president and CEO of the Alaska Native Heritage Center. Koyana Nichuk Niluchi, Hunaki Shahi Yahura, Knuyang Alhugut, Atam Koyanchi. Thank you for listening. My youth name is Bijali Zan Nezuri, Nahahni Nasi Uze, Duhun Gitapha, Tuska, Annette Evans Smith, sees me. I'm also Koyukon Athabaskan. I am originally from Rampart on my dad's side, while I live in Anchorage. Many believe that the DNA of our cultures lives within our languages. With the loss of language comes the loss of vast amounts of traditional knowledge. Our indigenous languages make our state unique, and they tell the story of our state and offer a rare glimpse into thousands of years of history. It is critical that we take proactive measures now to strengthen our languages, while language speakers in each of the Alaskan cultural groups still exist, and the interest and aspiration to revitalize our language for future generations is strong. Compelling evidence exists that links indigenous children who have strong traditional, cultural, and linguistic backgrounds with academic success. Languages fill a vital role. They make our identity strong culturally, and this knowledge leads to strong cultural identity and strong sense of self and self-esteem. Children taking language and culture classes benefit by gaining stronger identities and knowledge and appreciation of their heritage. The reverse of this is also true. American Indian and Alaska Native teenagers who are more conflicted about their culture are at greater risk of engaging in high-risk activities like alcohol and drug problems and dropping out of high school. The Alaska Native Heritage Center's award-winning programs have seen this time and again. We have a graduation rate of 83% in our high school program and 86% in our internship program. When you make the link with young people with who they are, and their culture, they perform better in school and they make better choices in the long run. At our core, we recognize that Indigenous language promotes increased self-esteem and confidence for Alaskan Natives, particularly youth, and a strong cultural identity translates into a strong person overall. ANHC is working to develop programs on-site at the Heritage Center to provide Indigenous language learning opportunities in a full immersion setting. Tribal groups that begin Native language instruction at an early age will be more effective than those tribes that focus on teaching older students. There are several successful examples where language restoration has taken place. You can look to the Kahangareos in New Zealand, the Ahapanaleos in Hawaii, and the Arapaho immersion schools in Wyoming. Because government authorities have played such a powerful role in the decline of Native languages, it is reasonable to expect that they can play a role in restoring those languages. House Bill 254 will provide the much-needed political infrastructure as well as the human and financial resources to build and follow policies within and outside the state government. Meaningful invest by the state of Alaska in cultural trade to Alaskan Natives will not only contribute to a stronger Alaskan Native society, but a stronger Alaska as well, and therefore warrants the highest legislative priority. I offer the Alaska Native Heritage Center's full organizational support for this panel. And again, thank you, Representative Stoltz and members of the House Finance Committee, for the opportunity to testify on behalf of HB 254. I would also like to thank Representatives Alan Dick and Kathy Munoz for sponsoring this bill. I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Annette. Anybody? Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Annette, I was reviewing the Alaska Native Heritage Center's mission, and it was suggested earlier this afternoon by Representative Thomas, Co-Chair Thomas, that the first Alaskans might be a place to have this conversation. I thought of you because of the mission that I've heard you speak to, and that was the unique Alaska Native cultures, language, traditions, and values through celebration and education, the mission statement that's on your website. I'm just wondering if we go down the direction of housing this council in a facility outside of the state of Alaska, that we point to the right organization. And so yours had come to mind for me, but I know that there are others out there. I just didn't know if you had comments on that.
Through the chair, Representative Fairclough, yes. The intent of this bill and the support for the panel would live well within the Alaska Native Heritage Center and our mission, and would be supported by it. So to answer your question, yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again, Annette. Next we have Denise Morris.
Hello?
We can definitely hear you, Denise.
Thank you. I'm Denise Morris, and although raised in Anchorage, my identity and a connection to my home community of St. Paul Island remain strong today. I am the president and CEO of First Alaskans Institute, and am testifying today in support of House Bill 254. On behalf of First Alaskans, I just want to say that we really do extend a hearty and sincere thank you to the sponsors and co-sponsors of both House Bill 254 and its companion Bill 130. As you may know or may not know, First Alaskans Institute is a statewide Alaska Native nonprofit organization focused on advancing Alaska Natives for the next 10,000 years. And we work to empower the indigenous peoples of Alaska to ensure that we are involved in shaping and making the decisions that impact their lives. For us, revitalizing our Alaska Native languages is an important part of the restoration of healthy and well communities in Alaska, for all Alaskans. Some people may ask, why support Alaska Native languages when there are so many different languages that are spoken throughout the world and the diversity of languages that are spoken throughout Alaska? And for me, the answer is quite simple. All other languages have a home. Countries should speak them, nurture them, and grow their complexity and nuances over time. But the only home the the indigenous language is of Alaska have is right here. Alaska is their home. Our languages contribute to the uniqueness of Alaska and the rich human diversity of our state and our nation. Given an opportunity to blossom and to be revitalized, to be nourished in our lives, empower voices, grow cultural continuity, and strengthen the identity of our next generation of Alaska Native leaders, dual state leaders across our nation. People who are strong in who they are and knowledgeable about their cultures, prepared for and work hard for individual and collective success with themselves, for their communities, for the state. And our languages contain knowledge not available anywhere else in the world, especially in relation to the land it has grown and developed on. You know, if we as Alaskans are to steward Alaska and her resources into the future for the good and for the benefit of all Alaskans, then the languages of the Alaska Native people are crucial to this endeavor.
Are you still there, Ms. Morris?
Sorry, I lost you right there for a second. There was a hiccup. I apologize. I'm on myself.
Crucial was your last word.
I know that there's been some discussion about the makeup of the panel, the individuals that would actually serve on this committee. And I know there's been discussions about having Alaska Native people who actually are speaking the language. And I think that's important, but I also want to emphasize that there's a whole generation of Alaska Native people, for various reasons, that don't necessarily speak their traditional Alaska Native, that they're critically involved in teaching and advancing Alaska Native language revitalization efforts. So, you know, when we're looking at who are the best people to serve, there's a lot of different ways that individuals can contribute, so I think that we need to be careful in how we select the individuals to serve. And lastly, the resources necessary to support this effort truly need to be appropriated. On behalf of First Alaskans and myself, I would ask that the bill be taken into consideration and fully supported. And I'm available for questions as well.
Thank you. I don't see any questions. I appreciate your testimony, Ms. Morris. Thank you very much. Next, we have Patrick Anderson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
Wonderful. To the honorable members of the Alaska House Finance Committee as well. My name is Patrick Anderson, and I serve as Executive Director of Chugachnude. That's a consortium of seven tribes from the Prince William Sound and Lower Cook Inlet regions. Now, our tribal members are predominantly Aleut, but we do have representation from every tribal group in Alaska. My past service in language restoration and preservation includes a fairly long tenure as a trustee of the Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation back in the 1990s, and a number of years of membership on the Alaska Native Heritage Center. I am here to testify in support of House Bill 254, creating the Alaska Native Language Council. My organization operates a regional language program, and we feel like we're in a race against time to preserve and restore our major language, which is Sookstun. One of our tribes spoke another language, that is Eyak. The native village of Eyak lost their race to preserve and restore the Eyak language when its last native speaker, Chief Marie Smith Jones, passed away in 2008. Also in 2008, we counted 48 fluent Sookstun speakers in the region. We have approximately 2,200 tribal members. Today, 4 years later, we have 35. We do have a number of adults who can use the language but are not fluent. Something that's rather sad to me is that the last male speaker of the Prince William Sound dialect of Sookstun passed away last month. When I was growing up in Cordova, my Granny Revere, who was actually my great-grandmother from the native village of Tetidlik, spoke fluent Sookstun in the Prince William Sound dialect. My grandfather, her son, Alex Anderson, Pope as well, as did my uncles John, George, Louis, and most of the elders that lived in Cordova at the time, late 1950s and early 1960s. My mother, however, did not. When Mom was young, she was sent to the Pius X mission in Skagway. The mission, as she told me the stories, literally beat the language out of her. Mom was Tlingit and did not speak the Tlingit language while I was growing up. My dad was from the Cordova area. He was sent to the native school of Iklutna, then to Mount Edgecombe, and Dad did not speak the Iluktik language. As a result, for about 5 years, I lived in an environment where the elder generation spoke to each other in Sookstun, and my mother and father's generation and mine on down did not. The language died in that short period of time. My experience in the last 20-plus years in language restoration is that if the language died in such a short time, we need to work hard because we have a very short time to restore it. In our region, we have 3 fluent-speaking teachers certified by the state of Alaska. Unfortunately, our school districts do not view native languages as important, and as a consequence, they're not working in the school districts. One, in fact, is working in western Alaska instead of one of the school districts of our region. We have 4 more who are involved in teaching the young people in 3 of the village schools in our region. Those 4 are supported by Chagatnyu. Our young people want to learn, but our resources are limited. For those 4 teachers that I spoke about, we've had to dedicate 8 months providing them with education and training before they became eligible to provide instruction in our school systems. We have also had to be innovative in ways such as using Skype to provide instruction in at least one of our villages that does not have someone who is capable of teaching the language to our children. I agree with the whole question about resources. I have been on the ground for 20 years in efforts to try and restore the language, and funding has always been tight. For Chugachnu, we received our first language restoration grant in 1997, and we were able to start the process of saving Sookstun. But that effort lasted for 3 years. For 5 years after that, we had no funding, and then we had another 3-year effort. That grant was not renewed, and then we were able to close the gap to 2 years. So for FY 2009 through this fiscal year, we have had an opportunity, and we have worked hard to help restore that language. For that reason and many more, Mr. Chairman, we appreciate Representative Dick's efforts to support this council. In particular, we need to have, as I believe Representative Fairclough said, advocates not only in the legislature but in the administration. This council, if composed of the right people, can help us focus on what is necessary in terms of administrative and legislative policy and statutes that will give us the best chance to try and reverse the trend of languages that are barely hanging on.
Okay, we're going to have to get you to... We have a hearing at 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and we have about 10 or 12 other people to testify, so we're going to...
Okay. All right. I thank you for this opportunity to testify and for your kind attention.
We will we'll be bringing this bill back up again, and I'm going to have to ask other folks. I know we've had others that have had longer, but we don't have a choice but to go to about 3 minutes. Apologize for that, but we really will. We're going to be here late tonight, and I would like to start in time for the next one at 4 o'clock, so we'll do our best. So, Byron Charles, and thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. This has been an educational process for me to hear this. Byron Charles.
Good afternoon. First of all, let me introduce myself and Tlingit. Okay. Chinese Kanawasakan Yiglena. Klingunish Chief, Alaska State Representatives. Klingunish Chief, Mr. Representative Thomas. Representative Thomas knows this to be true, that the dialects from the Tlingit people, for example, up north from Haines, Yakutat, all the way down to Juneau, their dialects is completely different from the Tlingit language from Juneau on down to Saxman area. I miss my Tlingit language very much as well. I was raised by my grandparents, and Tlingit language is the only thing I grew up with. A few years ago, I participated with a well-known, respected carver in the southeast area, and that's Nathan Jackson. We got together with a group of people at the Ketchikan Indian Tribal Community, which was called the Talking Circle. We sang a song together in Tlingit called "I Will Make You Fishers of Men." It's really powerful when the people can understand not only the language itself, but what it is they're singing about. When you sit up there and watch these young people perform in an audience, they're trying their very best to sing the song in their own language. But for those that do understand the language, whether it be Yupik, Athabascan, or Haida Tsimshian, a lot of the elderly people, the very few that are left today, feel real sad because they know these young people are trying real hard not only to perform, but to sing a song in their own native language. And as one person stated earlier, it is much easier to teach them at a younger age compared to those that are in their late teens. I agree with that 100%. A council of people from each village would be very beneficial to the people in the community when it comes time to showing the public what it is that he or she has learned. When the tourists come up here, these young people will have an opportunity not only to sing and speak their native language, but interpret it in the English language as well. I support this bill. It's been a long time coming, and the part about finding the resources, those resources that I'm sure you're referring to, are the people, the elderly people that are still alive today. Very few of them are there. And those that are there, they're the ones that really understand the interpretation of their language. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Charles. In addition to Representative Dick and Helen, his incredible partner, we have Kathy Munoz, the other sponsor here, I want to acknowledge. So welcome, Representative Munoz. Next, we have Genevieve Cook. If you wish to testify, welcome. And you'll be followed by Alice Taff. Welcome.
Dear to you, Dr. Sak. Tachte Tan, Yesh Hatziti, Kagwan Tan Yadie Hat. I'm up here because I want. I'm for this bill. I'm one of the ones that can't speak it very well, but I understand it and I can read it. And I just wanted to be up here and say that I am for it.
Thank you very much for coming in. Next, Ms. Taff. Okay. This is not a conscription here. We think people that are willing to speak, unless you're a state bureaucrat, then we will make you come up. Selena Everson. And I'm going to call everybody. Just you can wave yourself if you don't want to speak. Very good. And followed by Ms. Haldane. Welcome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I didn't think I was going to testify, but this is so important to the elders. I'm a fluent speaker of my Tlingit language. And it means so much to me to see the kids, our children in school, learning their songs and their dances that we were forbidden to speak, dance, or sing. I don't know how anybody would feel when they're forbidden their own language, their own culture, their own way of life. Our people have been hurt. And all we ask is a little help from the state to give us our pride to carry our banners of dance and song and language back so our children can know who they are. They hold their heads up. We have different clan members, and they know their clan. They introduce themselves in the proper way of the Tlingit and the Native people of Alaska. I didn't think I was going to testify today, but you can tell how much it means to me. And all we ask is a little backing from the state of Alaska. How many years we've tried by different organizations to preserve our language. We depend on grants. We depend on everything we can. Alaska Native Sisterhood and Brotherhood used to donate whatever they can to educate our children. And they even went along with when we were forbidden to speak. My mother, who spoke very little English, my father spoke English. You're going into the Western world. You have to learn the Western ways. I didn't learn to preserve my food. To this day, I feel like crying because I don't do any of the artwork they did. But I was fortunate I can speak my language, and I wanted to see our languages alive 100 years from today. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you for deciding to speak. That was added to the testimony, Ms. Everson. Again, Alice Haldane. Welcome.
Well, sheesh, thank you. I too, also, I don't think I could put it any better than Selena did. I work in Glacier Bay as a cultural intern, and the people there ask why our language was taken away. But it's so hard to explain to anybody. I'd like to see it all come back so we can have our pride back. So we can, like Selena says, carry our banners proudly. Our grandchildren are the ones that are going to be suffering for our language to be gone right now. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much. And I noticed there's somebody filming there. We'll also make sure, please, if we keep filming, I want to make sure, make sure that we get, the Finance Committee will secure a copy of this from gavel to gavel so that we can make sure that the appropriate folks, probably a couple copies to make sure the appropriate folks, this is also part of history, these folks stepping forward. Beverly Faye Hugo.
Paralagipsi. Paralagparagipsi. Utkarig miyo vanga. Utkarig. Pero Alaska miyo. I thank you for this opportunity. I'm an Inupiaq language teacher at Hobson Middle School, and we're so fortunate to be invited by the Tlingit and Haida to help them, give them tools to help them build up their language program. My colleague Chris Ann Justice and I came because we were passionate about giving tools to people to transmit their language. And I was fortunate. My parents were my foremost educators. They're the ones that taught me how to speak. I felt fortunate that I didn't have to leave until I was 16. I was already grounded in my language. But it took every ounce of whatever I had many times to maintain my cultural identity. Sometimes I even had to just take an F at the university system because I had such prejudiced instructors that are clueless about my cultural heritage and my cultural language. They wanted me to check my cultural heritage at the door and come in naked. Who asked any person to do that? Nobody has the right to do that. But it was my choice to hang on to my culture and my language, even though I valued education. I got an education from the university system. It cost me, but there were times I had to just say, I don't need this class. I mean, I shouldn't have to give up my dignity and my person, as Inuk person. Yeah. So, I really am encouraging you to support this. This is at least the least you can do. So I would admonish you to just support this bill and pass it through. And by golly, who are you here for? Are you here for us, or are you here for yourselves? I mean, you have a responsibility to serve your people. And we Alaskan people, Native people, some of us are not as fortunate to have the language, but I feel blessed to have it, and I'm trying to pass it on to my students, my children, and my grandchildren. So, but I think we could use a little help. And please support this.
Thank you, Ms. Hugo. And I think when you see this leave the committee, you'll know you've been among friends.
Thank you.
Representative Wilson.
I just want to say thank you for teaching, and I hope you're teaching within our system and passing that along. But everyone here is giving us, some information that we probably needed to have a long time ago. So thank you for taking your time and doing this for us.
Thank you. Next, Marcia Hotch.
Representative Jewell, I'm sorry.
Just briefly, four of us went up to Barrow for place-based, theme-based education, and were able to visit her classroom. She is teaching within the system. Amazing what she's been doing over the years.
Remember it well. Welcome.
Gunafchish. Gunayunti. Yukhaktu asalp lingit enach. Ganachteri ayachat. Shangukeri yadi ayachat sati. Yik eg lakat yuhan li yadachosh beini. Gunafchish.
I teach the Tlingit language. My Tlingit name is Gwaneute, and my English name is Marcia Hotch. And I'm from the Ganachteri, and my father is Shangukeri. And I come here, I thought about this for a long time, and I want to thank the sponsors to this bill. Gunfchish, our plain Gunfchish. And I thought about what would I say. I am in support of this. But probably what I could say is what everybody else has presented. But I want to share a little bit about what I went through. And it's not just me. It's many of us. I am probably the youngest Tlingit language speaking woman. And I only got that because of my grandparents. I grew up with my great-great-grandparents and my grandparents. And those of us that do speak, that is how we got the language more in my age range. One thing my grandmother used to say to me is, Ishiguni hefisaku, wasekogoti igachank ian. What's going to happen to your own grandchildren when you don't know who you are? Jayash latgikug adhaskat, hefiyahastajiyikuti. They won't have any face. And it's so true. When we look at some people who are out there and have made wrong decisions, destructive decisions over their lives, and you look into their eyes, they're empty. And that's kind of how she sees it. She was born in 1868. This is the type I grew up with. And with that, but I went to school and finding myself, the moment I left home and walked out that door, it was English. But in my home, it was Tlingit. And I got sent home from school one day. And my parents were told, my mom and dad were told to speak English in the home. And they were very limited on English. So you can imagine what happened in our home for several weeks, because they wanted to honor, they wanted the best for me. There was silence. The silence was so thick in our home. There was no laughter. And I used to crawl out at night because I could hear them talking, because I wanted to feel who, that warmth of them, their kind words, their laughter, and to be a part of it. And so I used to crawl out and crawl under the table, and I'd sit there and listen to them. And I must have fell asleep or fell over, but my dad found me under there and told me I had to go back to bed. But I think then they decided they're going to do. She's going to learn English one way or the other. As you notice, I probably don't have an accent. But that is one of the memories that I have. But they went on and started talking Tlingit. And I've only been an instructor probably about 14 years now. And with that, I had a friend who used to try to get me to come and teach in the school. I could not make myself go up to the school because that was a different kind of environment. That was the environment. My insides would literally feel. It did something to me. And even when my own children, I have five children, they're all grown, I never taught either one of them. And go up to the school, and she would invite me up, and she was teaching at the school, and asked me to sub for her one time. And I really was hesitant. But I searched, and I thought of it, and I said, I think I can do this. You see, my father died in 83, and the language, I didn't have much people to speak with then. That was the only people I spoke with, and the elders. And so from there on, I started teaching, and I found out I can do it. I can do it, even though the language went silent for a while. And one of the things that I've seen in my teaching was in the school that I taught in, some of the students that came to us had a tough time in the mainstream of the school. Maybe they came from broken homes or whatnot. And so you knew their spirits were broken. But I'm thinking of this one young gentleman who did his eighth grade promotion. And he was doing his speech. And in that speech, when he was talking in English, he was busy reading. But when he started doing his Tlingit language, his shoulders squared up, and he stood, and he just looked at his audience and did his Tlingit language. And then when he went back in, to he just, you know, he went down again. And to all of us that saw that, we knew he was very proud of who he learned who he was. And I know that he learned that. And I see this young man, he's a young man now, and contributing back, you know, in a positive way. And with the way that maybe some of them grew up, maybe they'd be out not making a positive influence. But I was also one of the, when we, before, on the Senate bill, when we were working with it, I worked with, met a couple times with Olson's, Leon, did I say his name? And so we kind of hashed it out and did some planning on this. But our goal is to see it preserved. Yes, we want our language preserved, but we want it inside of our children. And we can document and document and document, but if we don't work hard and create the human resources, and I believe that this bill would help us to do that. And one way analogy, the other analogy that I would like to leave with you is sometimes in teaching the Tlingit language, I feel like we're going up in the storm and this huge wave, and we've got to learn to get that boat over that huge wave that looks like it's going to engulf us. And this is the way I feel sometimes when I look at Tlingit language and what's going to happen and to many languages across, not just in Alaska, but across the United States, the Native American language. But we struggle, but what we're trying to do today is to try to get the best we can, the skills, so that those students can learn to get that boat that they've climbed in, that they want to learn their language and get help them to get over. Because a skilled fisherman will get his boat over that wave. He'll learn how, he'll teach his children, or he knows how to get over that. And that's kind of what we're trying to do. And I know that if this bill, I encourage the committee to move this bill forward. And it will enable us to equip the next generations to hang on to what is so dear to all of us. Our plain gunna sheesh.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to have to turn over the gavel to Representative Thomas. I have to, an unpreventable event I have to go to.
If I might, I have an appointment at 3 o'clock, too, that I have to leave the room. So if anyone's in the middle of testimony, I'll be back as quickly as I can and plan on being here for tonight's public hearing also. But I have a 3 o'clock that I'm supposed to get to.
Hopefully my staff's watching. I have a 3. I can wait till 3:15 and maybe get back and swap. But that's the way, just to let you know, that's... We have probably an average of 12, 14 meetings a day, and we spend 2.5 hours, or we try to spend 2.5 hours to 3 hours in here. We didn't even ask Marty if she had any questions for Marty, or did he? Just like, you know, I grew up with Marty. You know, I spent, some of us know her. So, and Ed, who's going to be speaking also, because I'm from Kluckwunder, and I spend my summers at Maggie and Willie Lee's up there getting fish and hauling fish for Tom Jimmy. Remember that? Going to pay you big money, he said. Haul fish all day and get 10 cents, but that's... But anyway, Ed too, he's from Kluckwun. I can go into my stories about...
Mr. Chairman, does that mean that if we wanted to learn more about you, we could speak?
I see big money coming in. Roy Dugan, you're bad. So we had one person who left and he came back. Robbie Littlefield, are you back? Oh, you canceled, then you come back. So if you want to...
A chai isa achi, kuthek yuchat do a sock, sheet kada chayachat, kaguantan ayachat. My
Robbie Littlefield, Yuchat Duasak, Tleka Enach. My Thingit name is Kufek. I married into the Thingit community and was taken under the Kagwantan's wings because my husband is a raven. So, and I live in Sitka. I became fascinated with the Thingit language after listening to my father-in-law and asking him what a few words here and there were. And I realized that he was a fluent speaker and pestered him and began to learn. Been married for 40 years and started learning right away as soon as I was married. But I've only really been learning for 30, and even that was not very much because there was no one available to teach me. And so I had to teach myself. So I asked, how do you say this? How do you say that? And I learned, I know more nouns than some fluent speakers, but I know very few verbs. So over the last 10 or 12 years, the Alaska Heritage Foundation has provided teaching classes for our fluent speakers and their apprentices. I have a fluent speaker that I work with. I like to work with as many fluent speakers from as many communities as I can. So I'm just telling you as a background that I'm a serious, serious language student, and I give back to the next generation before I pursue my own heavy-duty education. So with that said, I have some strong feelings about what needs to be done to keep the language alive. Documenting the language and preserving the language is not going to keep the language alive. A lot of people are using that word preserve, and that is not the right word for what we're asking for. The language has been preserved. It has been recorded for 40 years or more, and in the archives at the University of Alaska Fairbanks is full of research material for language students. We don't want, it's been done, it's been preserved. Now we need to bring it back to life. We need to restore the languages across Alaska. So that's what we're asking for. The Department of Education developed something called curriculum guidelines, what they expect school districts to be doing. They even go so far as to grade the school district. Are they doing this? Good. Are they not? Oh, they should do that. And they're told that. And they have something called cultural standards as well as academic standards. The cultural standards are wonderful. They was developed over a large number of years by some very brilliant people along with traditional people. And they came up with some standards, cultural standards, that meet everyone's needs who live in Alaska. I'm not talking Alaska Native. I'm talking everyone who lives in Alaska. That's what the cultural standards are for. They're not for the Native kids. They're for everybody, so that they can communicate. Not only will that help them communicate with Alaska Native people, it'll help them go out into the world and communicate with other cultures. It's cultural awareness that what they're teaching, it, what they ask the school districts to teach in our schools. So it's already been mandated that it should be done. It's just really hard to do it with no support. I think that's why we're asking committee be appointed to help smooth the communication between the people who don't understand why in the world Alaska Native people would be asking to have their language taught in the schools. Why in the world would they want that? Some Alaska Native people don't understand that. But in order for our children to value their heritage, it needs to be valued by other people in our state. And it's what makes Alaska special. It's the one thing, heads and above, that makes Alaska a special place is our Alaska Native heritage. So it just makes sense to me that the state would jump on this and say, yes, we need to support because the time is getting short, our fluent speakers are leaving us, and our learners and our apprentices and our struggling young people are not cutting it. We're losing ground. We have fewer and fewer speakers every year. And I'm counting the ones who are trying to learn and comparing them to the ones who are fluent. We're losing ground. We are not making up for the loss of our elders. And we need help. It's not only good for our Alaska Native kids. It's good for every non-Native child in our state to feel like they belong to the land, that they come from a special place that had special language that was only just for their community or with their region. We need to teach these regional languages because it's who they are, and they grow up, and they're going to be tied to our state for the rest of their lives. So I guess that's about all I wanted to point out, and just those two big things.
Questions?
I have one. Are you related to Ed?
Which Ed?
Ed Littlefield from Metlakatla.
He is my father-in-law's nephew. His dad was Henry, and my father-in-law was his brother.
Ed and I were basic training together back in 1966. And then we still talk maybe every other week. So
small world.
Small world. How about Nancy?
Nancy Littlefield was from original Clequan, married my father-in-law's brother, Art.
That we saw her in Clequan all the time, and there was IX's sister.
So you know what he just asked? He had an important question. How do we connect? We found out how we related to each other. And so important. In our world today, nobody connects with anybody else. Nobody has any real responsibility to anybody else. They are alone, and they wander through the world, and they don't have any reason to be careful with their words. You know what this is? It's called anuch. When I turned 50, I decided I would do something wild and crazy right away. Just get it over with. So I got a anuch. Long ago, they had women wear these so that they would be careful with their words.
I didn't say be careful with your words. but Ayak is Harry Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Harry Jimmy was my best friend when he used to come up. I helped build his house in Clequan, too. So
he's small world. Still rocking around.
I went to see him in Sitka when I was over there in December.
Okay. Yeah,
85 or 87 years old.
I just saw him a couple days ago walking down the street.
Yeah. Good to see him. Thank you.
Yes, sheesh.
Sheesh. Hussein Justice. And then following her will be Ed Hotch.
Okay, well, again, I'm Hussein Justice, and I work with the North Salt Borough School District, and I have the privilege of working with Inupiaq people. I specifically work with the Inupiaq Education Department and with all the Inupiaq teachers across the slope to help them develop the materials that they use every day in their classes to teach the Inupiaq language. I was raised bilingual, bicultural, not in Alaska, but that experience helps me understand the importance of the languages that we have from the time we're small, and how they help us identify ourselves. And I just feel very, very privileged to be where I am, to be helping the Inupiaq people. And I believe that this bill will show support, and I think that support is extremely important. I am constantly shocked when I meet educated people who do not understand the reason why we're trying to revitalize native languages. And it happens all the time that I a couple years ago, one of the principals on the North Slope was sharing his deep felt opinions about what a waste of time it was to be bringing back native languages. And we see the pain that it has caused, and we see the passion of those who are spending much of their life work in trying to bring it back. And even if what we're doing is saying we support you, that will stand for a lot. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Seeing none. I want to also apologize. When I read the bill, it said DCEDD, Commerce Economic Development. I just saw the ED education, so apologize to education, ball out commerce instead. How's that? Ed Hotch. So I'm talking to my cousins. These are my cousins and cousins-in-laws here. So.
Thank you, Representative Thomas, and all the rest of the representatives here on this committee. It's an honor to be in front of you today. This House Bill 254 that is before you is not going to be a cure-all for all of us, but it's going to give us a foothold, and that's what we need, is a foothold. after years of being told we couldn't speak our languages in the school, this is going to allow it to come back for our children. Because people like me and Bill, we grew up where our grandparents and our parents, when they were told not to speak the languages at home so that we wouldn't get in trouble in school, some of them took it literally, so some of us don't know the language as well. And it really hurts. But we are losing our elders. Like they said, the IEC has lost theirs already. They don't have any fluent speakers. The Haida language has maybe two left. The Tlingit language, last year we had 80, and it's down to about 40 because our elders are dying fast. So we really need this bill to be pushed through so that we have that foothold and we could plant the seeds so that our children can get some of this and bring our language back to where it used to be. It's kind of like the herring runs being overfished and they're taken away, but if you give them time to build back up, hopefully they'll come back, and that's what we're striving for, is to bring our language back. It was a language of the natives that helped win one of the wars. You need to remember that. If it wasn't for a native language, maybe we would have lost that war. But because of the language, the government recognized the use of using it for what it was, and that helped win one of the wars. We've had, you know, being told not to have the language loud in the schools, but a few years ago, it was making all the news for quite a while that there was a big push to do English only. And English only is a culture, just like our culture. It's a Western culture is what we call it. And our children are learning the Western culture, and we don't find it because it's good for them. But it would also be good for them to learn where they came from and their own language. During Elizabeth Paradovich Day a couple weeks ago, I'm on the Indian Studies School Board as the president, and it was brought to my attention that one of our schools here in Juneau had a teacher that was given a brochure about the Elizabeth Paradovich Day, you know, something that was going to take place in their school, and she tore it up and made the comment that this was a waste of her time. To me, that's the equality that Elizabeth was fighting for by this woman's words was just tore the whole thing away. So we're still fighting, even today, to have equality. Elizabeth, when she was presenting her case, she said that signing a bill to prevent crimes won't make them go away. Well, signing this bill is not going to cure all for what we're doing, but it's going to give us that foothold we need. And hopefully the state will keep on helping us so that we can be here. Tourism, when they come to Alaska, are looking for a native culture. If we don't have our language and they forget what they're doing, they're going to have to figure out something else to do because Alaska will be no different than all the other states. So the tourism's not going to want to come up here anymore because it costs more to come to Alaska. So in that respect, we should be able to look at it from both ways, that it's going to help the native people, but it'll also help Alaska because they'll still be able to come up here and see what our culture was like before it was taken away from us. So we would really appreciate all the help that we can get. Because I work with Gold Belt Heritage, and we've been working for years trying to get the language in the schools. And with the budget cuts, they're taking away two of our cultural parent educators. And to me, that is not right, because they have 100 parent educators and only 4 cultural parent educators. So that's telling me that our language is not worth their time and effort, which is probably the same reason that this brochure got torn up. Ganeshchish, thank you for your time.
Questions? Just a record, just Edward's grandfather, Steve Hotch, is my grandmother's nephew. Victor Hotch was my grandmother's brother. Her name was Mildred Sparks, Mildred Hotch Sparks-Centine. And some of the old A&S women here will remember her. She was like the first Grand Camp Americus. My mother is Margaret Thomas, so kind of KB, huh, Marty? From the pluck one. Talishkow. You know, you'll get a crack out of this, where Talishkow means the sound of raven, so all my life I've been Windy Bird. So, there you know.
The rest of the story.
Yes, you know, Windy Bird, our uncles used to say. Now you know the rest of the story. Paul Marks and then Nancy Douglas. Then we have one person after that. Good afternoon, Paul. Another man I've known most of my life. But no good stories. Don't, he can talk to him.
Auckland Guna Chish, your committee, Finance House Committee, to your chairman, Bill Thomas Guna Chish, your Gawa Titi Atecha, your House Bill. Yin Kokosha Dadha. Just of course, you go. You see, who are Dusuk, Sai of Chiwu. Hataya, Tinko de Nik, Yakatu Sauk. A hit was a two or a hakwa, a ish, Kijanai, a kla sekere, a talk, Kuzio, Kutu Yok Si. Chokhon kuch, chokh tlak kekhne, chokhon chokh shadahane buksiti inha tanawak, chokhon chinkidu, hayiti na hayiti, hayiti was tu a ka. I named the teachers that I learned from. My first is my father and my mother. They spoke Tlingit in the home. And my, what I call my talk, was Austin Hammond's mother. She was like my mother. She taught us songs. She taught us the language. I remember as a child. For us to get comfortable with the school setting, she would set a table in front of herself and she would put all the kitchen utensils in front of her. And she would ask, Dasea. She'd ask whatever item she was holding, we'd have to name it. But we'd have to raise our hands so that she could recognize us. She was preparing us for a school system that we were foreign to. But yet she knew how important it was that how important our language was. I spoke Tlingit most of my childhood life till I went to school. And when I started school is when I started becoming very confused in the system because I was thrusted into a system that the thinking it was foreign to my thinking. And yet today is still the same. The thinking that I see happening is not my way of thinking because I think in Tlingit. And many things that I hear now because of being more involved in the Tlingit language, I whatever someone says in English, automatically I think it in Tlingit. But it has been said that most of these people I named are gone now. And there's another, Nora, except Nora is the only one. Nora Dawn Hauer is my older sister. She has a book out, and I read the book. And she, in that book, she tells a story of when she was a child. Our people used to go out camping in different areas in the winter, and they have to come back to town. But they would hide my sister Nora in the bow of the boat, so the federal marshal would not take her from her parents, from our parents, to teach her English language, to take her away from what she knows of the world, about the world. I say that because many of our people, and she was punished also for speaking Tlingit language. My sister Nora Florence was also punished for speaking the language. My brother Jimmy was punished for speaking the language. And I state that because this was the school system. This was the government system that took away our language, and it would only be a good gesture from the government to help us restore our language, to help regain our dignity as a people of this region and also throughout the state of Alaska. It would be, I believe, would be a big feather in your hats to help support this bill, that it would go through and that you would speak strongly on behalf of us to help us regain our dignity, to hold our heads back up, because it does do this. I teach in the school system, and I've taught in fourth grade, and some of the kids have been learning the language from their grandparents, which is very fortunate that some of our kids do have this. And there's one kid that would come into the office where I was sitting and waiting to go to the classroom, and he would sit there, and he'd look at me, and I wouldn't say anything to him because I was being tlingit, being respectful. And then he says, "Wasa iati," you know, and that's a big thing for us as being tlingit, because here's a generation that's his great grandmother is the one that's teaching. His grandmother or his mother doesn't know the language. His grandmother doesn't know the language. But yet he's learning the language. And I can see the pride and dignity that comes when our children are beginning to learn and understand their language, which tells them also where they come from and who they are. And so with this bill would help us to regain our dignity and be able to hold our heads up, and also to teach our children with dignity, because when we do go into those school systems, those kids, you could not believe how excited they get when we come into those schools, because it's something they can relate to. So I would say, if I said something to offend you, it's not my intention to, but it's my intention to plead our cause that we want our language back. We need our language back. And I would just say, please support us and please pass this bill and get it where it needs to be so it could be in action.
Nancy Douglas. Sitka number, I see.
For the opportunity to speak. I'm Nancy Eddie Douglas. I was born and raised in Sitka. My mother was Tlingit. My father was Irish. So as a young girl, I grew up going to the AMB hall happily with my mother to Kuhiks. I remember distinctly as a little girl falling asleep underneath the table while my mom participated in our traditional Kuhiks, listening to the elders speak fluently. Those are wonderful warm thoughts in my mind, and what I think about the opportunity to speak here today. Since then, I've created opportunities to try to learn our language. I've taken opportunities to work with the elders in Sitka. I was fortunate to grow up with the Sitka Native Education Program, where I would go to school every day and then happily run down to the AMB Hall to work with the elders. Charlie Joseph probably got tired of seeing me because I thought that was the greatest opportunity ever, was to spend time with him and with his wife Annie, learning as much as I could from them about our culture and our language. From there, I went to UAF, and at that time, Donawak was a resident elder, so I didn't know who he was. But I knew I needed to take that opportunity, and I found out where they were housing him. And I went and I knocked on the door, and I told him who I was in Tlingit. And he took me under his wing, and he said, and I went and ate there the whole semester that he was there. I was the luckiest Native student on campus because I could go eat traditional food almost every day because he brought a stash with him. But I would take Nora's books, and I would read to him in Tlingit, and he would listen to me. And that gave me an opportunity to know that as a student that was learning how to be a teacher, that the passion is in me that our students grow and excel by learning our Tlingit language and knowing about our culture. I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity when Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation created the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy Program in the Juneau School District to be asked to partner with my sister to create a program that would teach culture and language to the students here in Juneau. That was the greatest opportunity ever. From there, I've moved home. And I think with this, every opportunity in working with elders that I've had, and you listen to our elders, what they'll tell us is we want the voices of our ancestors to be heard across our land. And I strongly believe this, the passage of this bill will help us continue to have the voices of our ancestors heard. And I hope you support the bill, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. In part, an apology for folks. I've been waiting for a call from a doctor from the East Coast, which is why I had to run out, and he's agreed to let me call him at 4 o'clock, so I can do that. And then just to your cousin of a cousin in the first row, when you mentioned the English-only law, when I first came up here, it seemed to me that it was very important that I felt it was important to respect the people who were here thousands of years before I arrived. And when the English-only law passed, I called up the Native American Rights Fund and worked with them on challenging that law, because part of that law said that in traditional village meetings you couldn't speak your own language, and that seemed offensive to me. So while you can't sort of make up for what's happened in the past, I think a bill like this sort of helps at least turn the curve and helps folks gain ground from the ground that they lost in the past. So, thank you.
Questions? Yesterday we had a bill on the floor, grading of the fleet, and I'm just going to make a comment that when I was growing up studying as a Gilletter, that Donawak Austin Hammond, which you never mentioned his real name, was fishing in Ayak Harry Jimmy, and those who were my mentors, but they didn't teach me all the rocks, I had to find them myself. So, but I did watch them how to gill nets, you know. So, you know, Harry, he still has salt shakers, so, and Austin had the seabird, but, the, you know, he's gone. So, anyway, Austin had lived in Haines, too. So we have one person left, unless there's somebody in the audience who wishes to participate and testify. We may have overlooked, you know. Okay, Jerry Owenewa? Are you still there? Okay. Your name and affiliation, please.
Yes. Jerry Awanona, a resident from Nome, Alaska, full-blood Inupiaq, currently a Republican Party district chairman in Anchorage.
Okay.
And I'd just like to be in support of HB 254 and say that as my experience growing up, I had started as a child in my own Inupiaq language, and I spoke that as a primary language before I went to grade school in elementary school. And so from there, I had to adapt and learn English to get anywhere in the grade school system and in the grading system. So I learned English, and one subject I latched on really easily was mathematics. So in grade school, I was so far ahead in mathematics, I had a set of encyclopedias right next to my desk. And so instead of studying math during math class, being so far ahead in math, I just studied the encyclopedias that were next to my desk all day long. And so I learned the meanings of words in English. I learned the different nouns, verbs, adverbs, and a lot of what it means to understand English. And so I moved away from the Inupiaq language forgetting most of my culture and just going forward with English. And so that enabled me to understand the world around me that exists. And so that way I was able to navigate and educate myself in what words mean. That way that there was even some counselors I had that couldn't understand what I was talking about in session because of the words that I used and the vocabulary I had. Any questions?
No questions. Thank you, Jerry. We did. Okay. Thank you. We did overlook one person, Mark Hans Chester. For some reason, I got the impression they had left the way they scratched it off. So I'm wrong. Before we testify, I just want to info former Representative Norm Roebuck sitting in the background, former Rules Chairman. I don't know if he's here to grade us or what, but welcome, Norm. And good afternoon, Mark.
Sheesh, thank you all for taking a few moments to listen to what I have to say. Earlier when Patrick Anderson spoke, it struck my core that's my grandfather's namesake. And when he talked about not having the opportunity to learn our language as he grew up, it made me reflect on my own ability and how I was raised. And I was raised in the Western education system and grew up speaking English and didn't start studying Tlingit until 1996 when I attended UAS here in Juneau. And got the opportunity to have my mind open to a whole new world. And I am now a school teacher here at Glacier Valley Elementary where I teach 7th grade. And the abilities of my particular students, 75% of whom are Tlingit, have greatly increased this school year just with the little Tlingit language I've used with them. And so it made me reflect on what Grandma Selena Everson said just earlier today, too, how this is a very important bill in the eyes of the elders. And I agree with her 100%. But I also know that it's just as important, if not more so, for my generation and the generations to come. And one of the things I was thinking this bill might allow the speakers of our languages across the state to do is to collaborate with each other. Each language is very different from the other languages. And even within the language, there are many differences and nuances that are particular to a certain region. And so in my eyes, as an educator, as a school teacher, the abilities will increase when we collaborate with other people, regardless of what their language is. They might inspire us with ideas that we've never thought of. We might inspire them to do something different that they've never thought of. And that's something that jumped out at me as I was looking over the bill, is that people from across our state will have a chance to work together and collaborate, share ideas and strengths and weaknesses so that we don't make the same mistakes, or so that we can all make the same movements ahead with our language as other groups have. And so that's one thing from that perspective that I think will come out of this bill. The other thing that keeps running through my mind is that with me starting to learn Tlingit in 1996, there were between 400 and 500 speakers, and now there are less than 100 just within the last 16 years. And I've seen it and I felt it happen. And any glimpse of light that can be shed upon all of our languages will help immensely. And the fruits of the labor might not be visible right then and there, but they will be eventually. And the proof is sitting here in the room. My niece is 6 years old. She can understand almost everything that is said to her because my sister has taken the time to teach our language to her. So any help, anything that the state of Alaska can do to help us put back what was taken from us, what we took from ourselves, will only greatly enhance what we have and what will be. Ms. Cheesh, thank you for listening to me.
Questions? Thank you, Hans. We have, just for the record, I want to note that Scott Ruby, the director for Commerce, has been here all day patiently, and I apologize for calling you education.
Is that a fighting word?
Yeah. It could be if I didn't find my, correct it myself. The Mr. back to the other co-chair here.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, for carrying on. I had to leave for some other meetings, and I appreciated the part of the testimony, and I'm sorry I missed the parts that I did. I have a small Native village in my community. It's not just my district, it's my community, the Native village of Aklutna, and I know a lot of the stories from some were referenced by a few people about the industrial school that was in Aklutna. I saw the remnants of it as a very small child. I heard some, a lot of remembrances, a lot of them not real positive about education methods in that time from people, some that have passed away since. And I'm really honored that we have the opportunity to be part of along with the leadership, under the leadership of Representative Dick and Representative Munoz, to we can never rectify, but we can take a step in the right direction. I don't think fixing is the right word either. We take a step in the right direction. When we're here, we get involved in a lot of things, but this is one of those things you're really proud that you get to be part of a process and do something right. Representative Jewell.
I think the word you were looking for, Mr. Chairman, was healing.
Thank you. You've always been a help on communicating. I'm often clumsy. I want to thank everybody here and everybody that participated, your patience through the process. And I really want to thank my members because I'm only just starting to tax your patience. A lot of you I saw here early at 7 in the morning. This committee will be here till at least 9 o'clock tonight. We're going to meet from 4 to 9 with a half-hour break for something to eat to take up HGR 16. So appreciate in advance this is the hardest working committee in the building. I appreciate all the members. So with that, we will stand adjourned until we commence our next meeting at 4 p.m. Thank you.